Are you also tired of one-size-fits-all weight loss plans? Meet Noom, the personalized solution that meets you where you are. Noom is able to understand your unique needs, from dietary restrictions to medical concerns. Unlike restrictive programs, Noom embraces your lifestyle and choices. Discover a sustainable approach to weight loss, tailored just for you. Honestly, Noom felt like it was made for me. It's not just about what I eat. It's about understanding why. With Noom, I've learned so much about myself and built healthier habits that stick. It's all about progress, not perfection. Say goodbye to restrictive diets and experience the Noom app for yourself with personalized lessons and expert coaching. Noom's psychology and biology-based approach has helped over 5.2 million people achieve their goals. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Inspiring interviews with today's top landlords. This is the Rental Income Podcast. And now, Dan Lane.
I've got a pretty inspiring story for you on the podcast today. On paper, my guest today should not own any rental properties. He had a lot of things going against him. When he first started, he didn't have any money. He didn't have any credit. He was pretty young, so he hadn't established credit yet. He was self-employed, which makes it really challenging to get a loan, and he didn't have a lot of real estate knowledge. So he tried to figure this out. His first deal didn't go well. He ended up losing a bunch of money, but he stuck with it and kept trying things and kept trying to figure it out. And today he has figured it out, and he's got a couple of properties that are all doing really well and making him money. So I think this is going to be a great inspirational story about the power of rentals and how if you just stick with it, this can really work out. So let's take a real quick break. We'll thank our sponsors. We'll come right back and we'll meet Nick Beveridge from North Idaho.
Are you looking for actionable steps to create wealth and passive income? As a top-ranked business and investing podcast with over 800 five-star reviews, the Passive Real Estate Investing Show is packed with strategies and insight for putting money in your pocket. Marco Santarelli from Narada Real Estate Investments brings his expertise and knowledge on both passive and turnkey real estate investing, and he provides listeners with helpful tools and tips to create the wealth you've always wanted. Head over to iTunes or Google Play today and subscribe to Passive Real Estate Investing Podcast, or visit PassiveRealEstateInvesting.com. That's PassiveRealEstateInvesting.com. The first step in buying a rental property is to get pre-qualified, and I would suggest you work with a lender that specializes in working with investors, because the last thing you want to have happen is to get to closing and find out the money's not there and you can't close. The lender that I recommend is Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. She's a nationwide lender, and she'll pre-qualify you for free if you mention Rental Income Podcast. Find out more today. Contact Chaley at ridgelendinggroup.com. That's R-I-D-G-E, lendinggroup.com. NMLS 42056. Hey, Nick, welcome to the podcast. Before we get into your story, why don't we start real quick with you giving us a real quick 30-second bio so we can get to know you a little bit.
Sure. Yeah, and thanks for having me on, Dan. I appreciate it.
Of course.
So my name is Nick Beveridge. I'm an agent and an investor here in North Idaho, 31. I've been doing this for going on my ninth year now. And I spend the majority of my time working with clients, helping them buy and sell real estate. And I would like to eventually just focus more on just investing and buying more rentals.
So did you become an agent first, or did you start investing in rentals first?
My very first property I bought as a rental. So, but I failed miserably at it. I was 20 years old. I bought in the wrong location. I paid too much. I bought at the wrong time, 2008. And it was a negative cash flow of like about $300-$400 a month. So my first experience was not great, and that's what made me think I should just get my real estate license so I can learn more about real estate.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about that, because a lot of times I see this happen all the time. People get excited. They want to get into real estate. they buy a rental property, things don't work out, they don't go according to plan, and then they just give up and they say, you know, this just isn't for me, or this is a scam or whatever. What made you want to stick with it after having that horrible experience for your first deal?
Yeah, sure. So I read Rich Dad Poor Dad, and that made me convinced that I'm going to spend my life being an entrepreneur and invest in real estate no matter what.
Okay.
I also saw my mother buy a house that she moved into for 1 year and then sold it the next and made $80,000.
Wow.
And during that year, she worked really hard at Disney World, actually.
Okay.
And she only made $12,000. And so I saw the big difference of her working really hard and then just buying real estate and selling it. So at that time, I had kind of a skewed idea of what investing was. That was just simply lucky appreciation, but it made me convinced that investing in real estate might be smarter than trying to work for a living.
Absolutely. Yeah. So what do you think you learned from that deal? Like, just so that we don't have to make the same mistake. Like, what did you do? What would you do differently today with that property if you were to buy it today?
So I would make sure that it cash flowed first.
Okay.
So you were that I got better financing.
Okay, so you weren't even looking at the cash flow. You bought the property and you just assumed that you would make money without really having a good understanding of the numbers?
Yeah. Okay. No, I had so my whole life growing up watching my parents buy and sell houses, they didn't buy them as investments. They just moved into them, resold, and moved to the next. But I saw them make big chunks of money every time they did that. Mm. So right. I just had it ingrained in my mind that when you buy houses and sell houses, you make money.
Right. Okay.
But I was wrong.
Right. Yeah. You really do have to know what you're doing. So do you still have that property today or did you sell it?
No. So I did a deed in lieu of foreclosure back in 2011-ish. Okay. It was, I spent about a year and a half fixing it up, put about 15,000 of my own money into it, which was a lot for a 20-year-old.
Sure.
And then I moved out of it and it was vacant for about 11 or 12 months.
Wow.
I couldn't get it rented. And then I moved to Florida, had seizures, had all these health bills, didn't have a job. So yeah. I just couldn't keep up with it.
Sure.
So I had to do a deed in lieu of foreclosure. And then I got my real estate license and I started fresh with being a real estate agent. And I knew eventually I'd get back into the game.
Okay, well, that's good. All right, so you just made a clean break. You got out of that property, licked your wounds, moved on. So then you started flipping houses to try to raise some money, right? So you were selling houses, but then you were also fixing them up, trying to make a profit selling properties, right?
Yeah. I didn't actually do that for about 3 or 4 years into selling real estate. I was too nervous. I didn't want to make the same mistakes.
Right, sure.
So when I found the right deal, I jumped on it. My brother and I partnered with it. We did all the construction ourselves, not knowing what we were doing, but just we YouTubed everything when it came to fixing up the house.
Okay.
And we got a good enough deal to where just in, I think, about 3 or 4 months from start to finish, we made $45,000 in profit. And that was about 4 times what I made in selling real estate that year.
That's incredible.
Because it was just a slow time.
Yeah. All right. So then when did you first get back into rentals? Like, so I guess you did a couple of flips. And then what made you want to keep a property instead of flip it?
Yeah. So I think I did about 3 or 4 more flips. And then in 2015, I bought my first actual rental that I still have.
Okay. So tell me about this property. How did you find it? How did you finance it? Give me all the details.
Yeah. So this was an MLS REO deal, and it was on the market for a long time. Nobody was touching it. It was out in a rural location. And I was looking at the history of it, and I saw that just 10 years prior, it sold for I think around $110,000, and it was just remodeled. And when I was looking at it, they had dropped the price to $33,000. I ended up getting it for $29,000. I got a hard money loan for $32,000, so more than what I paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I put an additional $9,000 of my own money into fixing it up. And I was able to get it rented out fairly quickly. before I even finished the project for $850 a month. And about a year and a half after that, I refinanced it with conventional financing, and I did like the Burr strategy.
Okay.
And pulled out $22,000.
Wow. Okay. So let's unpack that. So you buy a property, and like those numbers are really good. So you were borrowing hard money. So this is a short-term loan at a high interest rate. Do you remember what the interest rate was on that property?
Yeah, it was 12%.
Okay. So you were making money on that, even paying 12% interest, because the numbers were so good, right?
Oh yeah, definitely. Awesome. I was still cash flowing a couple hundred bucks a month.
That's incredible. So why did you wait a year and a half to get out of that loan? Because like if you got a regular loan at 5-6%, whatever the rates are, like you would cash flow just that much better. Why did you keep that 12% loan for so long?
Because it was simply, I just didn't qualify for a conventional loan.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So it took me a while to actually qualify.
Right. Okay.
And the funny thing was when I actually qualified just shy of a year after. However, my lender and I, we made a mistake. We didn't realize that with a Fannie Mae cash out refi, it has to be in your personal name for at least 6 months. And it was still in my LLC. So we had to delay it another 6 months.
Okay. Well, you know, I think that goes to show that you're someone that you're self-employed. So, and that's probably a big part of the reason why you were having trouble. So you're self-employed, you're just starting out, you didn't have much money, but you were able to get into this property without any of your own money. And you actually refied and took money out and you made cash flow along the way. I mean, that's really pretty incredible. So
yeah, no, it was great.
Yeah.
I'd do it again many times over if I could.
Did you self-manage that property or do you have a property manager?
So I actually did. I did for the first six months or so. And just to get my feet wet with it, I always knew I wasn't going to be in the property management business for long.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to just kind of learn the ropes a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's good. So, I think that's important.
And then I realized, you know, after they said they wanted to break their lease and move out early, I'm like, okay, now's the time to get a property manager because I don't have the cojones to stick them to the contract.
Right, okay.
And set up the supply guy. I'm like, oh yeah, sure, go ahead and move out. You know, it's just not my, I'm not a good property manager.
Well, that's good you recognize that and got out of it because you do not have to manage properties and to own rental property. So how did you, you said this property was in a town about 45 minutes away?
It was, right?
So now you're in the business. I mean, you're a realtor, but 45 minutes away, that's like a whole different area. So did you know a property manager in that area or did you have to find somebody?
Yeah. So there's actually, there was a larger property management firm in that town that had a horrible reputation, mm-hmm. but they had, while I was self-managing it, they got a new owner. And this new owner really kind of cleaned house and started evicting a lot of people and really kind of cleaned things up. And I still use him today. He's great.
Okay. Awesome. So, all right, now see, you've got that first property under your belt. Things are going great. You're making money on it. How long did it take you then to have the confidence to go out and do it again? Because I imagine you were maybe a little bit gun shy after that very first experience. Am I right that you were maybe a little bit nervous to do it again? Or did after that this next property going so well, were you just ready to do it again?
Yeah. So no, that's a good question. I mean, it did go well and I wanted to make sure that I did the correct thing and just bought right.
Okay.
You know, as long as you buy right, almost everything else fits into place.
Yep.
So I had to wait till I found the next best deal.
Okay.
So in our limited market, it's tough to find a really good deal on the MLS,
right,
even as an agent.
Sure.
So it did take me about 6 or 8 months to find the next property.
Okay.
And when I pieced that together, I just did another low money down MLS deal and I actually financed it directly through the bank that was selling it.
Wow. Okay. So how did that work? So you saw the MLS listing and in the listing, did they advertise that we'll sell you this house and give you the financing at a low rate or a low down payment or something?
Kind of, yeah. Okay. So it, but not to the public. So okay. it was in private realtor remarks.
Okay.
In this listing that, and it was actually a USDA property. So it was a government property.
Okay.
And because it was on the market for longer than they wanted, they once in a while they'd throw out this program where it's a I forget what they actually call it, some sort of non-qualified loan.
Okay.
Or non-program loan. And that's basically where they just offer to finance it directly with them, with an investor. They only need 5% down. And me being an agent, I got paid 3% for buying it. So I really just put 2% down.
Wow.
On this property. And it was a 3.5% interest rate, amortized over 20 years. And it was only a $43,000 property. So the payments were like $400 a month.
Yeah.
And I got it rented after I fixed it up a little bit. It was just a cosmetic remodel. I got it rented for $755 quickly.
That is really incredible. All right, so they wanted a 5% down payment, but you're getting 3% as your commission. So you only had to come out of pocket with 2%. They're offering you a 3.5% loan. I mean, that is really just incredible. Have you seen other deals like that out there, or was this just a one in a million type deal that you found?
I've been looking ever since.
Okay.
I haven't found another USDA property quite like that works so well.
That is really awesome.
The REOs have really gone down in this area. There's not a lot of bank-owned properties anymore.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that will change in the future.
Yeah. It's just, I mean, you just got to...
There's just few apart between now.
Just got to be patient. But, I mean, at least you know they're out there. So it's just a matter of waiting for that one to come up. Now, you also have bought a building that I guess it's a single-family house, but you're converting this into a fourplex?
Yeah. Yeah. So I got this property... directly from this owner before it got foreclosed by the county for not paying his taxes.
Okay.
He didn't pay his taxes for about 4 years and they absolutely destroyed this house. So I bought it for $110,000 and it was a 2,600 square foot house with a basement and a shop. And it also had this little room off the side of the house or off the back of the house with a little kitchenette that could be a studio if he just closed it off. So I basically converted it into four units.
Okay.
Awesome. It had a separate entry to the basement. So what I did was the entry to the basement on the interior, we closed that off completely.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be renting all four units separately and including electric in the rents.
Okay.
But my property manager seems to think we can get somewhere between $3,300 and $3,500 in total for all units once they're renovated and ready to go.
So, I mean, we oftentimes talk about the 1% rule, but this is like a 3% deal because you bought it for like $100,000 and it's renting for like $3,000 a month, roughly, right?
Wow. And the way I bought it with a private money partner, so I'm paying a lot more in fees. However, what's nice is very little money out of my pocket.
Yeah.
So he's providing all the funds and I just have to coordinate the work.
Wow.
I'm going to be in it about 190 when it's all said and done, including fees.
Wow.
It should be worth about 265 or so.
Wow. That is really, really awesome. And then now the other deal you did that I want to talk to you about is you bought a new construction property. And now in my area, new construction properties would be very difficult to work as a rental because they're almost sold at a premium, like that you can buy a house on the MLS and, you know, maybe it's going to cost, you know, whatever, $200,000. But if you bought a new construction house, it might be $225,000. Is it like that in your area where new construction properties are sold at a premium, or is it not like that in your area?
It really depends on the finishings that you get, but for the most part, new construction pricing side by side with a retail house that's similar is about the same in our area.
Okay.
So, but the huge difference is, you know, your CapEx. So when you're buying a new construction, you really don't have to budget much for a good solid 10 years for CapEx.
Everything's brand new.
Because you're going to be under warranty. Right. Everything should last at least 10 years.
Another thing that you've done that I love is you've borrowed Tim Schiner's Buy For Me and I'll Tear Up Your Lease For Free program. So your day job is a realtor and you're using the rentals as a way to generate business for your realtor business. Explain to me exactly what you're doing.
Okay. So basically in my lease, I have up front somewhere halfway down, you know, if you decide to break your lease early and buy a house with me as your real estate agent or somebody on my team, you won't run into any additional penalties on the lease. So buy with me, break your lease for free. It just gives them an incentive to, or anybody an incentive to rent this house if they're coming to the area and they want a little bit of time before they look to buy the right house.
And so,
and in most cases, when somebody's spending $1,800 a month for a rancher house in this area, they most likely would be better off buying a house.
Right. So the advantage to you is that you get a really good tenant for as long as they stay. And then when they break your lease or break their lease, then you get a nice commission check as their buyer agent.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, and they also treat the home very well.
Right, right.
From what I can see and everybody else that I know that's doing this, they treat it like their own.
Right. And then the added bonus then is now you've worked with another client who maybe will give you other referrals or maybe they'll move down the road and list with you and buy another house. So it's really kind of limitless the amount of money that you could make on this down the road, which is, I think, really, really pretty awesome. So, all right. So tell me what you have going on today. So you are an agent and you specialize in working with investors. So if someone's an investor, they're looking to invest in the North Idaho area. Tell me about your team and how you can help somebody.
Sure. Yeah. So my team is awesome. We do a little investor seminar / meetup / networking event the first Thursday of each month for free for people to come. And that's where we get most of our business is we just offer our knowledge and value of here's what we're doing. And then we either have guest speakers or we'll do case studies for people. We'll give them a chance to network. There are no fees. And we try to niche with just helping investors as much as we can with, you know, either CMAs on properties that they are planning on flipping, or if they're looking to buy multifamily in the area, we've helped people do that plenty of times, or selling their flips. So we just try to be a well-rounded real estate agent for the typical investor.
Awesome. So give me some websites. Like, do you have a website for your meetup and then a website for your realtor business?
Yeah. Yeah. So for both, actually, NorthIdahoREI.com.
If you want to look that up later on, I'll go ahead and put a link to Nick's website on my website. You can find it at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode203. If this episode inspired you and you're ready to buy a rental property, the very first step you should take is to get pre-qualified for an investment loan. Getting approved for a mortgage for a house you're going to live in is very different than getting approved for a rental property. I would suggest you work with a lender that only works with investors because you're going to have a much easier process getting the loan closed. The lender that I recommend is Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. This is all she does, helping investors buy rental properties. She's got access to dozens of different loan programs, and she can find a program that's going to work for you no matter what your situation is. You can find out more and get pre-qualified for free if you mention Rental Income Podcast. Just go to ridgelendinggroup.com. That's RIDGE, lendinggroup.com, NMLS 42056. I wanted to let you know about a really awesome website that I've been using to book car rentals. It's called autoslash.com. This website is absolutely incredible. It'll make sure that you're always getting the best rate possible when you book a car rental. It's so simple. You just go to autoslash.com, you put in your information on where you want to pick the car up, you put in the dates, and then Autoslash will find out if you're a member of any organizations that might have a discount, like maybe you're a member of AAA or USAA. It'll find out what discounts you're entitled to, and then it'll beat those discounts. I'm a member of Costco. I've been booking car rentals through Costco for years. I've never seen anyone be able to beat Costco. Autoslash.com beat the Costco rate for me, and apparently they beat Costco all day, every day. So check it out. It's really, really incredible. Autoslash.com. The greatest thing about it, and what I think is the magic to Autoslash, is that after you book your reservation, they don't stop working for you. They're continuing to scour the internet, and maybe there's a flash sale or some kind of limited time discount. If the rates go down, Autoslash.com is going to see that. They're going to email you, and then you can log into the dashboard. You can cancel that first reservation and rebook at the lower rate with no penalty. The greatest thing about Autoslash, it's totally free. Doesn't cost anything to use it, and it's going to save you a bunch of money. So I would definitely 100% recommend that the next time you need to book a rental car, you book through Autoslash. I'm a customer for life. I think this is the absolute greatest website out there for car rental booking. Autoslash.com. That's AutoSlash, Autoslash.com. Autoslash.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We've got a new episode for you next Tuesday. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.
You love podcasts, the stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcast-free today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcast-free.